The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by John. Jesus said, I say to you, whoever does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. They will not follow a stranger, and they will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of a stranger. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So he said it again. Amen, I say to you, I am the gate. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will go in and out, and he will find pasture. A thief comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I came so that you might have life, and life in great abundance. This is good news from the Lord. I think this gospel is one that probably is commonly not understood, because we take it at its first level, which is, you know, to belong to the Christian religion is to have gone through the gate. But he in fact says people can get in and still be thieves and robbers. In other words, not really get the message, not really understand what is it that shepherds the soul. What is it that gives us pasture and strength so we're indestructible? In many ways, I'm glad they connected the second reading to the third, because the clue is in the second reading, the first letter of Peter. And what he says is that what it comes down to, and I'm convinced this is true, might seem at first of all like an overstatement or a surprise. But what does most people in eventually is suffering. And not just suffering, but undeserved suffering. And if you don't have an answer for that, and most suffering is undeserved, most people by the second half of their own lives have turned sour, narrow, bitter, and blaming. So let's read a little bit from that second reading. If you are patient when you suffer, even after having done what is good, this is the great grace. To this you have been called, and he showed you the way. This is what it means that he's the shepherd. He gave you an example that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Yet he was insulted, and he returned no insult. He suffered, but he did not threaten back. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. To not judge when we've been hurt is very, very hard. In fact, it's heroic. I don't think the normal person can do it without major reliance upon grace and God. God does it in you. God does it through you. God does it with you. But if you stand alone when you've been hurt, when you've suffered some tragedy in your family, a death, a handicapped child, an unexpected humiliation or divorce or the loss of anything, everything in you wants to blame somebody. We feel it will release our, I don't know, all it really does is release our anger. But it doesn't really heal. And the way Jesus shepherds the soul is, more than anything else, showing you how to let go of it. That doesn't mean you have to roll over and play dead. But we have proven by many studies that most of the pain that people suffer is not the incident itself, it's our resistance to it. It's that constant voice that says, this isn't fair. This shouldn't have happened to me. This is not right. You face those voices every day. And they're half true. But the trouble is, they destroy the soul. Because you keep replaying those voices over and over again. Dang it, it's not right. It's not fair. And so Jesus shepherds the soul by walking through the gate first. And then he says, I'm the gate. If you can find an answer for unjust suffering, for undeserved pain, and almost all of it is, you're indestructible. And I want to offer you a prayer. I'm going to pray it twice. It's called the welcoming prayer. Maybe some of you have learned it. But I think it's saved many people, at least I know, from a life of blame and hatred and that endless replaying of the voice, it's not right, it's not just, it's not fair. And God must certainly know that. Life isn't fair. And if you expect it always to be, you're going to live every day angry and disappointed. They say every expectation is a resentment waiting to happen. If you wake up in the morning and say, I expect this, I have a right to this, I'm entitled to this. We call America a country of entitlement. We deserve. Well, Jesus deserved too, but he didn't get it. And so the second reading says, quoting Isaiah, by his wounds you have been healed. You have gone astray, but now you are returning to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. The way he shepherds and guards your soul is by leading you to a much deeper place where you don't immediately fight, resist, and oppose everything that happens to you. I'm going to offer you this welcoming prayer. It was created by Father Thomas Keating, who was the abbot of Snowmass Monastery in Colorado. I'm going to read it twice, because the first time it'll seem impossible. I can't do that. I can't go into that pasture. I can't go through that gate. Here's the prayer. If I would say this every day, every morning, I'd be a totally happy man. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change every situation, condition, person, or even myself. I simply open myself to the love and presence of God and God's action within me. I admit, it'll take our whole life to offer that prayer sincerely. But if you can, you'll be a happy woman. You'll be a happy man. And you'll find the grace to come back and do what you have to do to help and change situations. But first you have to say yes to life before you start with no. And most of us start the day with no. No, no, I don't like it. I oppose it. I resist it. I have to fix it, change it, or even understand it. When most of the time you can't. Let me read it again. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me today, because I know it's for my healing. I welcome all thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for power and control. I let go of my desire for affection, esteem, approval, and pleasure. I let go of my desire for survival and security. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or even myself. I open instead to the love and presence of God and God's action within me. And I offer this prayer not because I know how to live it, but because Jesus did it first and He will show us the way. Brothers and sisters, even as I preach this, it seems impossible to me. And yet I know on the days when I live this, those are the only days that I'm happy.